Have you ever wondered what a suspicious activity report is, or a SAR, and why is it so dangerous? Well, you've come to the right place, although the answers you're looking for may not be what you're expecting. Just give you a quick example of why this is so dangerous. Recently, I talked to a woman. She's in her late 70s. She's a former realtor, very successful, was successful enough to save up a lot of money that she could use for hard money lending. But she's semi-retired, mostly retired, but she had a bunch of money still in her LLC. So she decided, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if she said this or not, but maybe I don't have much time left, and decided to buy something with that money in there. Well, her bank filed a suspicious activity report that was triggered by that transaction. And they froze her account. Now, she was just absolutely flabbergasted by this. And here's what's, sad but interesting is that she still has not found an attorney to represent her. The bank won't talk to her, and she's the money's there in the account, but she can't access it, and it's just frozen. And what do I think? I think she's screwed. I mean, unfortunately, I really couldn't tell her much what I could any advice, because I can help people before it happens. I can't help them after it happens. So, who am I? My name is Don Thornton. I am one of the best real estate investors who focus on short sales. This is my 22nd year doing short sales. I've flipped over 3,500 foreclosure properties in that period of time. I have an MBA in finance, and I know a lot about what this subject matter is about, the Corporate Transparency Act, the Anti-Money Laundering Act, suspicious activity reports. So, and I like to share the wealth because I am absolutely horrified about what's happening in this country. But before I do that, I have to do a disclaimer and let you know that I am not a licensed tax, legal, or accounting advisor or professional. I do not offer tax, legal, or accounting advice. Anything I tell you today is for informational purposes only and should not be considered tax, legal, or accounting advice. You should always consult with a local, or not local, real tax, legal, or accounting professional before you enter into any transaction. In this video, I'm going to talk to you about what a suspicious activity report is. I'm going to tell you who can file a suspicious activity report. I'm going to talk to you about how the amount of SAR reports are just skyrocketing. You're going to be stunned at how they've just gone up just through the roof. I'm going to talk to you about what type of transaction can trigger a SAR report. What happens when you get a SAR report, and why the old facade that I hear all the time, well, if I do nothing wrong, then I got nothing to worry about. That's complete lunacy now, considering the way things are in this our society. And finally, I'll tell you what you can do to reduce your risk of getting a suspicious activity report. So let's talk about what a suspicious activity report is. In a nutshell, that is anything the bank or financial institution says it is. If they think that a transaction has no economic, business, or legal foundation or purpose, then that is considered a suspicious activity report. It's on them. They decide that. You don't decide that. They decide that. Okay. It was enacted with the Bank Secrecy Act in 1970, and that was one of the one it was a groundbreaking law that was designed to start going after money laundering and tax fraud, and it has been added to in recent years. Patriot Act number one, Anti-Money Laundering, the Corporate Transparency Act, they're all have their roots in the Bank Secrecy Act of 1970. So who can file what type of financial institutions generally are going to be the ones filing a SAR report? Well, banks of any kind, credit unions. And there's a lot of you out there thinking, well, I'll just stay away from banks. I'll do a credit union. My credit union would never file a SAR report against me. Good luck with that. Stocks, mutual fund brokers, trading accounts like day traders, casinos, precious metals, Insurance companies, mortgage companies, they all can do this. They can all file a suspicious activity report. Now, who can report suspicious activity? Because it's not quite, it can be, it's a lot of overlap, but there are people, categories of people that can file a SAR report against you that don't have anything to do with a financial institution. So obviously, first thing is any employee of any of those financial institutions that I just listed, they can file a SAR report. Law enforcement can also file a loss or a SAR report against you. City or state officials or public safety workers, believe it or not, can do that. Business owners can file a SAR report against you. The general public can file a SAR report against you. Can you believe that? Boy, you talk about opening Pandora's box there. I mean, think about the possibilities once people start to realize that they can use SAR reports as a weapon. What about ex or current existing business partners who know about what you're doing? Vindictive spouses or family members, right? And here's what's absolutely terrifying about this is that you know that the person that files a report, it has complete immunity from any statements, for any statements that is made in a SAR report. They're not even required to disclose their name. Okay. So you've got, and you can have an anonymous denunciation for the most part, and they're protected. They can outright slander and lie about you for whatever their reason, mostly vindictive, usually, I'm thinking is what's going to happen, and they're protected. So you have no rights, and they can just do that, right? And I tell you what, I just shake my head because, before in a previous life, I was a Russian language, major in college. I spent a lot of time over there. I worked at the embassy for a while, had my own business, have a family over there right now. I travel back and forth when I can to see them. But I've seen what's happening over there and how denunciations are coming back. People are ratting people out right and left. And you think that that could never happen in this country. But I'm telling you, the groundwork's being laid. So, the fact that this is written into the law and the procedures that people can do this without any consequence should really scare the crap out of you. I know it scares the crap out of me. All right. So let's talk about how many SAR reports are filed yearly. These statistics are going to absolutely blow you away. Okay. Did you know that from 2014 to 2019, this was before COVID hit, the average amount of SAR filings was only $4,000 to $5,000 a year? Not dollars, I'm sorry, 4,000 to 5,000 SAR reports a year. Now, when COVID hit in 2020, it went up to $75,000. Now, why do I keep saying dollars? What the 75,000 reports in 2021? Then it doubled. It went to almost it went to 142,000 SAR reports. In 2022, get this, 3.6 million SAR reports were filed. Now, there's no statistics out yet for 2023, but the people that track this stuff said that the first quarter was already on pace, that the year was on pace to go over 5 million SAR reports. So why just you think about this, why the sudden jump? Why did we go from COVID in 2000, 2021? Why did we get all the way to 3.6 million, in 2022? Well, let's connect the dots here, okay? The Corporate Transparency Act was enacted in 2021, and the Anti-Money Laundering Act was passed in 2022. So you can see that those two pieces of legislation were probably, most likely, the things that triggered all of this newfound, intense examination or paying attention to financial transactions. Okay. So let's talk about what types of odd or suspicious activities can trigger a SAR report. And this is coming mostly from the point of view of these financial institutions. All right. So be aware now that cash is poison. If you do a cash transaction or if you do a cash deposit, then that is going to get extreme amounts of scrutiny. And by doing that, your chances of having a SAR report are going to be, they're going to go through the roof. Okay. If you move funds around, that is also a trigger. And if you do things where the financial institution can surmise or suspect that you're doing what they call a structured transaction, which means, let's say, if you have $50,000 and you don't want to deposit that in the account at one time, because you could be afraid of, if you're bringing cash in, you could be afraid of getting robbed or something on the way, or if you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't want to trigger one of these reports, you could bring in, like, say, $8,000 and then $7,000 and then $5,000 and just break it up in different transactions, then the bank could very well think that that is a structured transaction, and they can trigger a SAR report on that. Any kind of wire transfers, frankly, are being looked at very closely, especially if they're coming overseas or coming from overseas, or you're transferring to overseas to something. And again, these can all be legitimate transactions. But the very fact you're doing that and they're so focused on that, that could trigger a SAR report. The feds are talking about shell companies. Well, most shell companies they're looking at that meets their criteria are LLCs and small business. So you, like this woman, what I just talked about, right? In the introduction, she made a transaction through her LLC, and boy, they got to that that quick, right? So if you have an LLC, understand that the government is now equating LLCs with shell companies, which they feel is a haven for money laundering and tax fraud. Okay. Now, here, there's a woman recently that I saw on Threads, and I took the screenshot of this because it was so interesting. She comes in with a large cash deposit because she has a business that apparently has a lot of cash deposits, and she was bringing them in to the bank. And she was treated like she was doing something illegal. So the teller had to ask her a bunch of questions, and then all of a sudden, this mystery employee comes and stands behind the teller and just looks at her. Doesn't stop. She's on trial here or whatever. Now she tried to make light of it in the thread. But I was thinking to myself, whoa, this is absolutely typical of what's happening. And she. I guess she got it through. She had to fill out a form and answered a bunch of questions and so forth. And she went out and said, well, hey, this is just one more example of what it's like being, black in America. And I just was shaking my head saying, honey, it's not about being black here. It's anybody that could come in with that amount of cash. And they're looking at that because they've been trained by FinCEN, by the federal government, by the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, that to equate any kind of a cash deposit as being suspected money laundering and a violation of the Corporate Transparency Act and the Anti-Money Laundering Act. So there's no race there, okay? It's just they think we're all a bunch of money launderers and tax cheats, those of us who have small business. So just understand that. But a day trader, for example, who decides that he or she wants to take profit weekly, does really well at it. Okay, that could be considered a suspicious activity. Anybody who's wiring does wire transfers in general. I mean, recently I had a businessman, an immigrant, who has an AC company, and he wired $30,000 to purchase something for his company, and it was stopped by Bank of America as a fraud alert. And now he's sweating bullets. He's worried sick that he's going to get a SAR report and have that money and have his account frozen, because that's the environment we're in now, right? So, like I told you, shell companies are viewed as, or LLCs are viewed as shell companies, and you have a much higher risk of getting SARred if you're doing anything with an LLC, like that woman in the intro, that lady who was in semi-retirement, decided to buy something with the money she had in her LLC, and boom, she got nailed. right? So, logically speaking, you may be asking yourself, well, what happens if I do get a SAW report? Well, the financial institution sends that report to the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN. You get a criminal number. You're in the system now with a criminal number if a SAR is filed against you, whether it is legitimately a suspicious activity or not. Again, you don't get the, it's not you saying that. It could be a perfectly logical reason that you're doing something for your business, but some flunky doesn't understand that and decides, well, this seems a little bit weird, or maybe he's overzealous. You know, maybe there's a unwritten understanding, like with cops and tickets, right? There's no quota, but you're encouraged to do that. There's subtle pressure. I mean, this is the environment that we're in right now. Okay. So once that happens and you've got a criminal report, a criminal number, then that goes everywhere. That goes to all other federal agencies. It goes to the law enforcement agencies, and you're on a blacklist. Okay. And the banks have been encouraged to freeze accounts and not just send a SAR report and see what the feds do. That, you know, they've been encouraged to go ahead and freeze the accounts immediately. When the FBI gets the SAR report, they start investigating. That's a is a priority now for them. It's been made so. This is, you know, with the Anti-Money Laundering Act and the Corporate Transparency Act. And so now that they can, you know, seize your assets in addition to the bank accounts already being frozen. And here's the thing, okay? Attorneys aren't going to work with you because all of this is under the money laundering statutes, where the feds pretty much have draconian rights to do whatever they want, and there's not much you can do about them. So a lot of attorneys, I mean, it's amazing. I have so many people reaching out to me every week about this who got SARred and got their bank accounts frozen, and it's a common thread. They go to an attorney, they can't find anyone that'll defend them. And of course, the other issue is that if your accounts are frozen, you can't pay for the attorney anyway. And so you're left with your life being pretty much destroyed. Like one of the people that reached out to me, you know, she was at the point of, you know, she went from $1 million as a very successful day trader. It all shut down and she was selling plasma. She and her husband were selling plasma just to keep going, just to survive. That's the horror, okay? So if you're one of those people that's saying, oh, well, if I do nothing wrong, then I don't have to worry about anything. Like, oh my gosh, you need to wake up and smell the decaffeinated coffee because our rely, you know, if you think that if you're still going by the rules that of, you know, the early 2000s, you know, the teens, 2000 teens and so forth, yeah, you'd be right, but not anymore. Recognize that there is a fundamental change in how the government is going after money. They are going after money like you wouldn't believe. And like I said, they have targeted small business in what they're looking at as far as sources of money laundering and tax fraud. But, you know, the government, far be it from me to say that the government's going to do anything careful or anything subtle, okay? They're going after this like a bull in a china shop, and they don't give a rat's patootie of what kind of collateral damage they do in the process. They just want the money. So they have the Corporate Transparency Act, which is, by the way, is still in effect. Don't believe everything you say you read on the internet about how it's been declared unconstitutional. That was only for people in the plaintiffs of the lawsuit. Everybody else is still under this and is going to be under it for at least 3 to 5 years until this is finally just settled one way or the other in with the Supreme Court. In the meantime, it's our new reality. The Anti-Money Laundering Act, which I've said a few times in this video, that's still out there. And as a consequence, the last 2 or 3 years, there has been a concerted campaign and investment of time and energy by the feds to weaponize financial institutions to make them be your eyes and ears. And the new reality is they're going to look at every single thing with a fine-tooth comb. And if they have the least bit of suspicion that it's odd, you know, suspicious, it doesn't make economic business or legal sense, then they are going to freeze first and ask questions later. And oh, by the way, the encouragement, the carrot, there's a carrot and stick methodology here. The carrot is that they will get 30 to 35% of whatever funds are permanently seized if there's a conviction. Okay. You're using AI to analyze all these transactions. And so now you've got a bot deciding whether your stuff makes legal business or economic sense, And my question is, it just absolutely blows me away, is if I'm a short sale investor, how the frick do they know anything about the intricacies of my business, how I work, and so forth? And there's stuff, transactions that I have, and it could go anywhere from $5,000 to $80,000. It depends, But if they've got AI deciding what my avatar is, then if I go above what they think the norm is, boom, whatever. They think that's odd or suspicious, and they'll shut it down. Okay. And remember, those of you who think that, well, if you do nothing wrong, then you're okay. Let me tell you, that housewife that made over $1 million day trading and then got it frozen, she did nothing wrong. I've spoken with her a few times. Okay. I'm helping her get herself up and running again. And she didn't do anything wrong, but doesn't matter. She still got it. Her life was destroyed. The woman in the introduction, right? All she did was buy something with her LLC. You tell me that somehow she was at fault for getting that money frozen. It wasn't. She didn't do anything wrong and she still got popped. Okay. An Amazon e-commerce guy who reached out to me about a month ago had over $450,000 that was frozen. He didn't do anything wrong either, right? Well, that idea that if you do everything right and your honesty and your adherence to all the regulations is going to make you bulletproof from this, you're absolutely wrong and you're in denial, big time. Okay, so I know we talked about and the truth about how horrible this is and how it's getting worse and worse and worse. There are some things you can do to mitigate, to reduce your risk. Okay. Now I just glanced at my contacts and messages that come to me in the last 4 or 5 months since I started talking a lot about the Corporate Transparency Act and the risk that we're having because of this. I got over 100 people that have contacted me who've had their accounts frozen. And I kind of just went through and did what was the common denominators of those people. And let me tell you something, there's a couple that most of them, they were doing things to their LLC. So they got popped because of activity they were doing in their LLC. Most of it was perfectly fine, but they still got popped. Okay. And also, there's a big chunk of people that have reached out to me who were investors, who are Forex, they're day traders, they're doing some kind of investments. And they're doing it in their own name, and they started making money. This is a big thing, okay? They started making money and they started withdrawing money. They started withdrawing the profit. It's like it's okay to have the money in there, right? You can make money in the brokerage account, but you start taking that money out because you want to enjoy it, and those people are getting popped, okay? And like I said briefly, what's happening is that FinCEN, the IRS, the financial institutions are all using AI now, and they are developing an avatar for all of us. They're analyzing what our transactions have been, our past transactions, what we're doing now, what they think the norm is, right? But as soon as we break out of that norm, if we start making more money than we have been before, if we do what most entrepreneurs want to do, which is make more and more money, nothing wrong with that. We start taking profit. That's when they come after us. And it's like the Japanese saying that the nail that's sticking up is what gets pounded down, right? Well, that's what's happening. So it's just absolutely horrifying. And as we get deeper and deeper into this new reality, people are going to get more aware of this. Right now, it's individual cases. They're, rightly so. They're not, a lot of people aren't willing to go public and talk about this because they're ashamed. They think they did something wrong. Or they're afraid, so it's not getting a lot of press right now. But listen, I'm the one, I'm hearing a lot of this stuff, and I'm telling you, it's just growing and growing and growing. So what can you do to mitigate it? You have to run everything through an exempt entity. You don't want to invest anymore in your own name. You don't want to do it through an LLC. You want to do it through an exempt entity. If you got a business, You need to get an exempt entity and run your business for that. If you do real estate, you want to make sure that the last thing you want to do is have your real estate in your name or inside an LLC. That is just you're just a SAR waiting to happen. If you've got investments, like you do day trading, or you do stocks and bonds, or do Forex or whatever, don't put that in your own name. Use an exempt entity. Okay, crypto, same thing. Run everything through an exempt entity. Don't do anything in your name. Don't do anything in a corporation or an LLC. That can definitely reduce your risk. All right. So if you're saying to yourself, okay, Don, well, what type of exempt entity are you talking about? I got the answer for you, but I'm not going to sit and talk about it briefly in this type of a video. We need to talk about it in detail about what's going on with your business and how to mitigate your risk and reduce your exposure. So what I want you to do is go to my website, all right, and register. And I can get you more information. We can do a one-on-one free consultation. I don't charge anything for this. Just go to bit.ly/exemptmenow. And it should be here on your screen. You can do that. If you're watching this on my social media, you can look at it as well. You've got my link is there as well. So I just want to remind you that the world has changed. We can't go back to the way it was. It's not coming back. We are under an environment of more and more scrutiny and distrust and suspicious, and the government who wants to get as much money as they can, and they don't care whose lives they destroy in the process. It's all being done under, patriotism, stopping terrorism funding, human trafficking funding, drug trafficking funding, tax fraud, money laundering. All that's the justification. And not a bad goal in of itself, but not if it destroys people's lives who are completely innocent and their only guilt is the fact they're trying to make money and they do well at it and they're getting punished and their lives are being destroyed. So we have the solution that can help you substantially reduce the risk for that happening, but you have to reach out and talk to me, and then we can get you going, okay? So thank you for watching this video, and I'll see you in the next one.